The other team that's been absolutely outstanding so far this season, and another winnable game coming up for them this week, they could potentially, Mick, be 7 wins and 2 losses. And I speak, of course, of the Gold Coast Suns. And one of the great men of Australian football is assistant coach with the Gold Coast. His name is Mark Riley. G'day, Mark.
How you going, Michael?
I'm going very well, thank you. Not half as well as your team, though.
Yes, we're going quite nicely, but like you said, every game's winnable, but every game's losable as well. We haven't got too far ahead of ourselves.
Now, look, your run hasn't been necessarily what we'd say extremely difficult. You've played, but you've at the same time, you've played some wonderful football and you've got away to some great starts in games as well. Has it surprised you with the way you're positioned with 6 wins and 2 losses at this stage of the season, or did you think at the start of the season that was certainly achievable?
Depends on how you look at it, Michael. You know, we at round, 9 now, and we're 6-2. You know, the conjecture is we've had an easy draw. At the start of the year, we played the two. You know, we had the two grand finalists in Fremantle and Hawthorn. Richmond were final 8, and North Melbourne were the best team, not to finish in the 8. So that's 4 of our 8 games. So it's been and the other teams were around us on the ladder last year. So, look, we've got an internal expectation of where we should be and where we want to go. And certainly, we're aiming pretty high. Now we've got some money in the bank. We might slightly adjust those goals.
Mark, magnificent first half last week against the Saints. Were you a little bit disappointed with your second half, and were you ruthless enough to close out the game?
You're absolutely spot on, Mick, and that's still the growth in the group. You know, the first half was terrific, particularly the first quarter. The way we moved the ball against the extra man, the cleanness, the stoppage work. And then particularly the third quarter we were disappointed in, because we do regard ourselves as a bit of, you know, roll the sleeves up and get the work done. You can see from our contested ball numbers, even last year in the 8-win year, were relatively high. And the issue was our spread and not being able to chain out and get enough uncontested stat and move the ball cleanly and precisely. So, yeah, we're a little bit disappointed in the third quarter. We've gone over that. A lot of teams coming off byes can get a little bit of bye lethargy. That's not an excuse. It just can occur. And if you look at the data, there's a few that do, and maybe a couple of the more mature ones that don't. We sort of knuckled down again in the last quarter and just did enough to win. But that you can't take away credit from the Saints. They started pretty slowly, but their third quarter, driven by Lenny Hayes around the ball, was pretty good.
Yeah, I suppose you're always going to get a response from great warriors like him, but I suppose we have to touch on Gary Ablett. He never ceases to amaze. Is he one of the best players you've ever coached, Mark?
Oh, it is amazing. Like, I was lucky enough to be midfield coach at Carlton when Chris Judd turned up, and I just stood in amazement and watched at some of the things. You know, made you look like a reasonable coach, some of the stuff that he did. made some of the players around him look like reasonable players too. And that was quite amazing. But to see Gary in real life at crucial times of games, when it may look like the team is waning or the opposition is sort of just starting to get their foot on our throat, and he just does things just quite incredible, you know. And he gets tagged every week. There's generally a team focus on defending him. I haven't seen him lose his cool. I haven't seen him lose his composure. His ability to do incredible things at incredible moments is probably, I would have to say he's the best player that I've ever seen in real life.
You're the school footy captain, Mark. You got to pick Judd or Ablett. Who would you pick?
Oh, very good. You can fit 3 in the centre square, so I'd take those 2 first.
Has his role changed, Mark? I mean, there was talk as he gets older that he'll spend more time in the forward half. Has it changed over the last couple of years? Is he spending more time forward?
Not really. He's a brilliant footballer and a brilliant reader of the game. There are occasions in games where he will just take himself forward when he may think he has an advantage, or he may think he might need a... He's still one of the last AFL midfielders to embrace the form of 10 or 12 rotations a game. He likes staying on the field, Gary, and we like him staying on the field. So, now, as yet, Michael, there's certainly been no plan to say Gary will play 5, 10 minutes or whatever in the forward line. He's generally our first-choice midfielder, and at times he pushes forward on the right opponent, at times we may push him forward, and at times he just goes forward and impacts the scoreboard. It's an incredible midfield quality, I guess, coming from when he started his career as an elite small forward. You know, the craft and the skill and the goal awareness that he has. I mean, the one he kicked across his body in the first quarter on the weekend with pressure bearing down from the front, pressure from his left, and he just sort of found that gap. It's like watching a brilliant jockey, you know, just take that split with a lot wouldn't take.
Mark, Zach Smith, remarkable comeback. Why was it he didn't play a NEAFL game?
Well, there's a couple of stories there, Mick. We programmed it and put him on the long-term injury list, so therefore we would never be tempted to rush him back.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a part of the strategy and the plan. He was generally ahead of where he was supposed to be for most of his rehabilitation. They'd done a wonderful job, his medicos, our medicos, Sports Science, Swerty and Paul Haynes. And then, as it turned out, the plan was, Mick, after he was ready and raring to go, was to probably give him a run in the NEAFL, which, with all due respect, is a competition a fair way off the AFL. Tom Nichols got injured and Dan Gorringe had an Achilles operation.
Mm.
And so all the moons aligned. Bluey sat down with him just to have a pastoral care chat with him, how he felt about maybe having his first one back in the seniors. And he was really, really confident. And he basically convinced Bluey that he would like to be brought straight back into the seniors. So, look, touch wood. We were patient with his recovery and he had a pretty good first up performance. Although in the second half, he kept hitting it to Lenny.
Mark, I want to ask about Malcolm Blight, and he's played a much more involved role over the last couple of years. What impact has he had on this group and even on the coaching staff?
Well, I think Blight's presence just brings aura and credibility. You know, he has an incredible football pedigree. You know, he's football royalty, really. And he tells me about it most days. he's wonderful company, has an incredible knowledge of the game. You know, and a lot of people say, well, it's been a while since Malcolm coached, but he coached, worked in the media. So I was only listening to a game or watching a game on the aeroplane the other day. It was St Kilda versus Carlton in 2011. And Malcolm and yourself, I think, were commentating. Anyway, he's always had his theories. He's always never been afraid to think outside the square, and he has very, very forthright opinions on the establishment of a football club with things, values of such things as stability, patience. So, look, it's a very long-winded way. I think he's been a magnificent acquisition for the club, just because of the personality himself, the standing in the game. Malcolm talks, people listen. And he's helped the coaches and players because he knows a bloody lot about it.
Mm. Have you asked him about how good a cricketer he was?
I didn't ask him, but he told me.
Thank you.
Just before we let you go, Mark, just one last one. I reckon it would delight the coaching staff and even the playing stocks to see players who are now getting multiple goals in their games. And I reckon it was a great example on the weekend with Lynch, Ablett, Matera all hitting the scoreboard, and that just ticks it over.
Yes, yes. You know, we're aiming to have, you know, not the singular focus. We're aiming to spread the load, and it was good that, you know, Lynch has kicked a 5 and a 4 and a 3, I think, this year. Gary gets his couple. Andrew Swallow, as a midfielder, generally gets one a week. Matera's starting to kick him through the goals and not the points. He's had a lot of shots. But it's all a culmination, Mick, of certain components of our game have been improving. And we were good enough or lucky enough against North Melbourne and possibly Saints for a half. The components joined together, they merged. Our defence was good, our movement out of the back line was good, we connected in the midfield, we marked it inside 50 and we kicked it through the goals, you know. You can't play perfect footy for four quarters, we understand that. We are growing that area, but we understand we've still got so much work to do. Hawthorn beat us by 100 points, Fremantle beat us by 45 in the wet. You know, we know where we're at. It's good. It's fantastic for the club, given the journey they've taken and probably the hits they took in early days, that we're actually seeing, at the end of the tunnel at the moment.
Good on you, Mark. Great to have a chat. Well done on the season so far. Good luck against the Bulldogs.
Good on you, mate. How'd you go at that assignment, Michael?
Absolutely brained it. And you?
Did you? I just passed.
Good on you, mate. We'll talk
soon. Thanks a lot. Bye.